It is a Friday afternoon. This is the closing market report for the 22nd day of August, 2014. On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd. Happy Friday to you, sir.
Happy Friday to you as well. Have you been getting rainfall the last 24 hours?
We have gotten a little bit, Todd, but I think most of it was well north of us where the ground needed it quite a bit more, with a northeastern Kansas and southwestern Iowa and southeastern Nebraska had missed some rains, and they look like they got some really nice rains and nothing like we saw in Indiana over the last 24 hours, rains that I think will really do some good for some pretty dry sections. It seemed this week's rainfall as a whole really hit some areas. Talking to clients near El Paso, near Bloomington, some of them had been missed a lot this past couple weeks. They'd actually gotten some nice rains, and were very, very relieved, as were the people in Indiana who did not get 6 to 10 inches but got more like 2 to 3 inches.
What does this tell you about the corn crop as it goes into the grain fill stage? It's in dough, and it's been in dough. Looks like it's been there for a longer amount of time. Now we're getting some heat, so it might jump to dent fairly quickly, I suppose.
But
what do you think about it for corn? And then conversely, August tends to be a month for soybeans, and I can't imagine that rainfall and a little heat can't be it. That's probably just what the soybean order today.
I would think that, too. I think you're going to start to see that white mold and sudden death that clients are starting to talk about show up a lot more with that heat and the rains coming through. But I think you're right. The pods are there. The counts seem to be there. And the beans are inside the pods, and they aren't losing anything at this point for based upon most of the people I've talked with. But going back to the corn market, I think this is a beneficial type of rain for the fill and the kernel fill, and the shallow fears and concerns that producers had are going to be diminished. Did this really take the corn back up to the top end? No, I don't think so. And I think based upon Monday's dough and dent status, you would think that that would be accurate, that the top end yields are lost if they were lost a couple, 3 weeks ago. So I think this is where the pro farmer numbers resonate with the trade based upon the early conversations I've had and the early newswire reports and the chat boxes. That seems like a pretty fair number, that it was a little bit below 170. They squeezed down the harvested acres. If you keep the harvested acres up at USDA's number, you're still going to add about 100 to 150 million bushels to the production number, and you're going to come in right around the 2 billion bushel level. Trade, again, going after into the August report, I think was well over 2 billion and mentally was prepared for a 174 to 175 yield and would not have been surprised by that and been able to take the market lower probably on that.
You suppose the trade now believes USDA because the crop tour numbers have come in and they came in at a much lower level?
Yeah, I do, because I think that when I talk to both media people that were on the tour, media people that have been around a long time, and then also trader contacts in Chicago, that wow factor for the corn in the pro farmer tour was not there. In fact, it was the commentary that many of us heard was, wow, I'm surprised it isn't better than what I thought it would be, instead of, wow, this is really big. You know, it was almost the exact opposite of what I think the bearish traders were expecting. And quite frankly, I felt the same way, not being as bearish. So I thought, this is interesting. Even in Illinois, there's comments of being a little bit disappointed. And they really didn't even get into the top third or the bottom third of Illinois, where there's probably a lot more fields that have suffered.
Yeah, I was thinking when I saw the Illinois routes, and I knew the Illinois routes, that if they don't come out over 200, there's something wrong in the state.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I mean,
and that's where some of the local elevators and co-ops have been doing. Sangamon County Farm Bureau numbers came out yesterday, and everything seemed to jive pretty nicely, that the Illinois yield is there. It may not be as huge as was once thought, but that makes sense given the lack of rainfall in some of these key areas.
Are you worried about the hook down? I think there's a hook down in the December contract for corn for the week. 371.5, down 5.25 on the week.
I'm not worried about it, but I'm kind of like last week, and I'm kind of in a time capsule with what we talked about last Friday afternoon, because I looked over my notes. And like last week, there was quite a bit of fundamental support, Todd,
right,
in this market again this week, and it was seen pretty handsomely. But again, like last week, technically, it was pretty much a disappointing close, especially when it came to the wheat market, where it was looking at a technically weekly higher close in the December contract, and we gave all that back. in the last 5 minutes of trade. And we did see, I think, continued repercussions from the November beans weighing on the corn market. And even though the September contract and the cash bean market is blasting off right now and really throwing back the idea that we have a 140 carryover in old crop beans, that new crop continued to disappoint. So I would like to see more connection with the cash market and beans and the new crop. And I think this goes back to the Delta crop being harvested, the trade thinking we're going to just barely have enough time to get through, and then we'll get the new crop out of the Delta. This makes the National Hurricane Service probably a very closely watched website next week, because we do have tropical disturbances off the Caribbean, and those paths are going to be really, really important. They get into the Gulf of Mexico, even if they're depressions, and we get a lot of rain next week, especially later part of the week. I think the trade will have to react to that.
Yeah, well, they'll react in the old crop because they're looking to move beans, and they won't be able to move it up and down the river system. Will they react in the new crop, though?
They are starting. At the end of this week, I started to see some basis really move. ADM Decatur, Illinois, also Claypool, and ADM Decatur, Indiana, all three of those look like they were pushing their better bids out there. Even the Andersons, when I looked at the website this afternoon for the cash beans, it looked like that the later delivery in September might be doing a little bit better. I didn't call to confirm that, but it does look like that at this stage of the game, you get into the first half of September, and they're going to be wanting those beans pretty badly. And I see that going into the later half of September if we have any issues whatsoever in the Delta.
Yeah, all driven by the bean meal. Man, it had a good week.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing, I mean, I think we're really in historic times, and it's something I'll have to go back and look at when I get some time. But to see places like Claypool, Indiana, which is close to Lake Michigan, actually almost a dollar higher than the export market at the Gulf, and then to see those same, you know, crushers not even quoting meal at this point in time really is something that I have not seen very often in a 20-year career.
All right, turn your attention to the cattle futures and what's been happening in the cattle market, but maybe we should back up to the 2 o'clock hour when USDA released cattle on feed numbers.
Yeah, and I think those two go hand in hand, so I'm glad you kind of set it up that way, because technically it looks like a bottom going into the weekly close when it came to the cattle. A nice bottom. We had a bottom and a hard bottom in the October hogs at 90.45 yesterday. So the livestock market looked really, really decent going into today's close. I'm a little bit nervous that those lows are going to hold, because the cattle on feed report today was pretty negative for feeders, as the average average number of placements was higher, and the average number for live cattle marketings was lighter by about 1.5% to 2% in each of those. And I thought maybe the cold storage market or the cold storage report would help, because the market had been thinking that the beef sector was gaining market share over the pork for the retail this past summer, but we actually added about 2.3% beef stocks month over month in today's report. So the key thing that I would press to producer clients that I work with in livestock, if this week's lows that we made can hold, that's a sign of true strength and probably a true bottom.
One final note, and I have been busy on this Friday, so I didn't keep up with it altogether, but did I see the Russians went across the border again?
Yes, this convoy that kind of went off the radar screen, they did come across at about 11 o'clock Central Time. It was reported by the news wires. Ukraine said, quote, a direct invasion, unquote, has occurred by Russia. So this is all right back on the table, as is the quality issue. We saw France import wheat, and they're the biggest producer and usually the biggest exporter in the European Union, but we saw them import wheat this week. So wheat is still very much the leader when it comes to the feed grains from my standpoint.
Always wonderful to talk to you on Friday afternoon.
Thanks. You too. You folks at Will Radio do a great job.
Hey, thank you. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas.